This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sarah. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
WEEI Afternoons, Green Bay, Wisconsin, Buffalo Wild Wings across the street from Lambeau Field. Day two of the NFL Draft.
Our friends from last night, all our Wisconsin friends that Eva and her whole family that we got to hang out with last night, they're all here hanging out, supporting us, behind us.
A little more.
Oh, I know Eva.
Yeah.
It's
you know Eva Fitzy. Okay.
Everybody knows
Everybody
Eva.
Knows
She's
Everybody
world
knows
famous Eva.
Eva.
A little bit bigger crowd behind us tonight
there
too.
Is.
I give the Green Bay residents credit and some of the fans that have come in for the draft. That it's not the we have people in blankets and people wrapped up and with hats on, but. They're getting out. They're showing out. They're going to come out, and for good reason. There's a lot of action left to be had. You know, you think of the NFL draft as round one, and then, it's done. Well, not really. There's actually way more picks left to be made. Two rounds tonight, three picks tonight for the Patriots. They pick 38, 69, and 77, and those are all, potential starters in your world of hope and foundational classes. And some of those you point to for Parcells and other people that have put together. Belichick had a few of them where you get 3, 4, 5 contributors out of one class. If you're going to get that, in all likelihood, a couple of those guys are coming tonight.
And Andy, this is where they say the sweet spot of the draft, rounds 2 through 4, and the Patriots have three picks in those rounds. And if you can come away with two starters, two of the three picks, are starters, and the third is a significant contributor, then you're doing pretty good, right? And it happens. I mean, the Patriots have had drafts where they've had, five of their top eight guys have been starters or contributors. It doesn't happen very often, but or at least three or four.
Yep.
So, just kind of hitting on your draft is the hope, because it builds a foundation. This team hasn't had a group of core players that you could really identify for a long time now.
And I think, Fitzy, with the questions about Campbell, as much as we like him, don't like him, whatever, with the questions, where's he going to end up, how good he's going to be, when you look back on it in 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, if you see Campbell, he's a good starting guard for them, and then you see, and they got that receiver in the second round who's a 80-catch guy, in a weird way, that almost softens the blow if he's not a franchise left tackle, if that makes any sense.
It does. If the rest of the draft is full of doubles, gap doubles, maybe a home run or two, then we'll look at the class on the whole and say, hey, that was a great – Mike Vrabel's first draft was awesome. I had my doubts about the first pick, but he's with the team and he's kicking ass. It's not a tackle. Okay. But, man, Luther Burden or Jalen Noel or Travion Henderson or Caleb Johnson is an awesome running back, and I sure love Devin Zaraku or whoever else. Ozzie Trapio turned into another great tackle. We've built a new line, and there's great lineage and history here. That's great, because we look at last year's and we go, well, we got May – and that's that.
Right.
So far.
Before we get into our hopes and predictions for tonight and those three picks and positions and guys, I did want to just take a quick look at a couple of notable sort of spots in the first round. Obviously, Travis Hunter, star, probably the best player in the draft, plays both ways. I really liked the way the GM from Jacksonville talked about it. Kind of said, well, he's worth a first-round pick as a wide receiver, and he's worth a first-round pick as a cornerback, so I traded a pick to move up, and if I use two first-round picks on him. Also, and I'm drawing a blank on his name, the young kid from Jacksonville, but he comes from the Rams world where they're fine trading away first-round picks if you get the right talent in return. They went to Super Bowls without first-round picks.
He even said last night, Andy, he said, I'm familiar with the blank them picks mentality.
Yes. Yeah,
love it. I love it. He's a guy.
He looks like he's 12.
Yeah, and he was mocked when he got the job in the press conference because everybody looked at it. He looks and sounds like he's 12. Last night, he looked and sounded like Mike Vrabel. He did something he believed in, and then he went out there and he kind of puffed his chest
strong
and said,
convictions about it. Yes.
I believe in it.
Yeah.
And I think that's great for that organization. Now we'll see if it works out and where it goes. Giardi referenced earlier, was there a little ownership level business? We need some attention and
probably
star power.
That, probably so.
And that's fine. That's part of the...
They're trying to be a brand in London.
Right. That's part of the world. That's they are in business. So a couple picks of notable names, Fitzy, that one I don't like and one I really like. So... Tyler Warren goes to the Colts. I hate it because their Richardson situation at quarterback, they don't have a quarterback that can take advantage of Tyler Warren, and I just worry that it's going to take him now 2 or 3 years till the next quarterback. Because I think if he got with the right quarterback, he could have come in and had 80 catches this year for 1,000 yards, 8 touchdowns, and we're raving about him. I actually think he's a guy that's going to labor a little bit in Indianapolis. The flip side...
I was a little surprised that he was the second tight end taken off the board.
A little bit, and there were people... Fitzy, you were on this train that the divide between Loveland and Warren isn't really that great, and clearly the Bears thought Loveland was the better player, and we'll see if that plays out. But the draft pick for the Chargers, Omarion Hampton, the running back...
Home run.
Absolutely. Like, the way they're pairing it, we've talked about situation, especially for running backs. Oh, you mean a team that has a Pro Bowl left tackle and took a tackle in the top 10 last year in Joe Alt and has a franchise quarterback? Oh, and had one of the best rookie wide receivers last year? That's the perfect place for him to hit the ground. Like, he could be a 1,000-yard impact running back with Justin Herbert in that offense.
Yeah, yeah, and guys, there are a couple people have been reporting, Jordan Schultz for Fox, that several teams in the high 30s and 40s have been trying to aggressively move up to 33, 34, 35. So there must be a couple of players. I bet Ezraku's one of them. Perhaps Mike Green, character concerns with standing. Yeah. Maybe one or two of the wide receivers. So a team like the Chargers, we'll say. Now, they pick in the 50s, but they eschewed going for pass rusher now that they lost Joey Bosa in favor of the running back that they couldn't pass up the chance to get because, like you said, Andy, the Harrison-Hampton-Hammer combo is going to be awesome for them next year. On a Jim Harbaugh team? Come on now. So I wonder, who are these three or four guys at the top of round two that so many teams over the next 20 picks are so desperate to get?
Why do I feel like I have a feeling it's going to be edge rushers?
It could be.
It feels edge rushers. Mike Green is still available. Some people thought he was a potential first rounder. Donovan, I can't pronounce his last
name. Ezraku.
There you go. Ezraku. Out of Boston College is still available.
He's the guy I want the Patriots to get.
Yeah.
A local guy, so he has ties to the coaching staff with Billy O'Brien, Doug Marone, all the connections. And then I didn't know this, 2-year captain there. They're building this culture and captains and leaders.
Yep.
And also, you know, 16 sacks doesn't hurt, the ability to get after the quarterback. I think he's a really interesting guy because I think he does check off the football fit and the culture fit. And then remember, in free agency, all the players they went after, they had a connection to. They knew him. He has that. He has the connection to the staff.
Let me ask you guys this question.
BC guy, too.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
What position do you want the Patriots to take in this second round?
Wide receiver or edge rusher?
Running back.
Okay.
I think the running back room is...
Henderson's pretty good.
Pedestrian. I'm telling you, 7 yards a carry. Touchdowns on like once every 6 carries. Doesn't put the ball on the carpet. Soft hands. Good out of the backfield. I will love the Will Campbell pick that much more and push aside the Ashton Gentry mayhem or disappointment.
If they get Scataboo?
Listen, I love supercharged Mike Allstott, and also he throws a beautiful pass. I just think that they're going to want to go with somebody.
Oh, you said Travion Henderson, right? Okay,
that's
gotcha. That's your guy. Gotcha.
My two offensive loves are Travion Henderson and Jalen Noel. When Brian Hoyer says, I think Jalen Noel is a tougher, faster version of Amon-Ra St. Brown, sold, book it, let's do it. Yeah.
So mine was, I like Henderson. Mike Green, I think, is a guy you just have to know the red flags. Like, the sexual assault issues in the past. You have to have a good zero chance on that.
That's why he's still available.
Yeah, that's why he's still available.
And the knees on Will Johnson, the Michigan cornerback?
Yep.
Will Johnson,
he's dropped. And then the guy I like at receiver is Jaden Higgins, the Iowa State, the bigger guy. And I did a little more research on him. 6'4", 4'4", 7 guy. Not elite speed, but an outside, like 50-50 ball, true outside presence. And I found out he was an elite basketball player. And I'm a big fan of basketball players that are pass catchers.
Yeah,
that are athletes.
Yeah. To it.
I think there is something to that. And I think because there's a lot of these receivers that are sort of slot guys. You read 87% of his routes out of the slot, and you're like, there's a lot of those guys on this roster. I don't know that you need
We need boundary receivers.
You need boundary receivers, and I think Jaden Higgins would be a guy that could absolutely fill that role on the outside. And but honestly, so that's I got four guys listed on my list. You guys probably have three or four guys. Mm-hmm. I mean, you only got to get to 38. A couple of those guys could be available because
They'll be available.
We haven't mentioned the name that everybody wants to talk about across the NFL, Shedeur Sanders. I don't know how far he falls. I don't know if Cleveland, with those two picks, says, well, yeah, he wasn't worth a top five pick, but he's worth a second round pick. He's going to – I got to think he goes in the top of the first part of the second round, right?
You know who actually just weighed in on the Shedeur Sanders situation?
Dion.
Best president ever.
President Donald Trump.
No way. What did he say?
I literally have it right here.
Please read it in his voice.
No, I was just saying, you got to do the impression.
He put it out on Truth Social, and it was aggregated by everybody.
He's going to call the NFL out, isn't he?
About 15 minutes ago. What is wrong with NFL owners? Are they stupid? Deion Sanders was a great college coach, college football player, and even greater in the NFL. He's also a very good coach, streetwise and smart! Therefore, Shedeur, his quarterback son, has all caps, phenomenal genes, and is all set for greatness.
Good stuff. Loved it.
He's basically making the case for Shedeur based on his dad's attributes.
Absolutely. His dad's a good coach. His dad was a great athlete.
Right. So Shedeur must be good.
That's not how it works. There's been a lot of examples and named Peyton and Jordan and all these players that
This is only because Deion supported him. If Deion wasn't a MAGA person, he would have the complete opposite opinion.
I know that.
Good point.
It still is interesting that he waited like – he's worried about the Ukraine and tariffs and all this, but he's got time to weigh in on Shedeur Sanders getting screwed. And Ted and I were talking about that. Like, it did really rub me the wrong way, the sense of entitlement that somehow he's gotten screwed, that he deserved, this wasn't right, this shouldn't have happened, but I'll respond to it. What do you mean it shouldn't have happened? Yeah. There's 32 teams. They don't think you're good enough. They didn't decide to take you, so get back in line.
Deion's comments about Shedeur not getting drafted last night are confusing, but just – don't make sense. And honestly, I just think put Deion in a bad light. I do. I just don't like the way he handled it.
You want him out?
I wouldn't be upset if he was. But he just signed a 2-year extension though. Or
Buffs
5-year
alum,
extension.
Deion must go.
We sold out to Deion. It's Colorado's Sanders University, baby.
So, Fitzy, do you have running backs? Because I've seen a lot of mock drafts. Like, we're talking about a running back in either the second or the third round. A lot of people are saying this draft is so deep at running back, you can wait till day three, and we've seen that in recent years. Bucky Irving
was this absolute smash for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Oh, people have talked about, like Elliot Wolf. That was the line last night when he spoke to the season ticket members at the party at Gillette. He said this is a very deep running back class. So, those of us that lust for a Travion Henderson who's going to go in the second round may not get their lust for home run hitting back sated because they may look to get a pass catcher like LaQuint Allen out of Syracuse maybe in the fourth or the fifth, or Caleb Johnson in the third or the fourth. Isaac Giddens is another one. R.J. Yep. Harvey is another running back people think is going to be available end of tonight, early tomorrow. So I'm not setting myself up for disappointment there, but I think that kid's going to be an absolute star.
Yeah, I liked everything I saw and read from Travion Henderson. You know what the best thing I read was from his perspective in the backfield you're going to put him in on? Zero fumbles in 2023 and 2024.
Yes.
Went two full seasons at Ohio State, by the way, not exactly playing a questionable schedule. At Ohio State, he went two full seasons without fumbling. And if I'm a Patriots fan dealing with everything that you dealt with with Ramondre Stevenson last year. That's a great thing to add to the backfield. But I just have the feeling that because it is so deep, they're going to push that off to later. Oh, we can get that guy later. Edge rusher, wide receiver. We also haven't brought it up. A lot of people think they could target guard and add a guard to the interior offensive line.
Snooze fest.
Oh, sorry. Oh, my. If they take a guard.
You win in the trenches.
They take guards in the third and fourth round every year.
You got 500 guards on the effing team right now. We don't need another guard.
Enough with guards.
You don't love guards. You used to put your head under their chin and try to kill them.
But we love each other still. It was an odd dynamic, me and guards.
It was a mating ritual dance.
That's right, right.
617-779-7937. Giving out the phone number if you want to react to the Will Campbell pick. We spoke with Will Campbell a little bit earlier in the show. It was a fun conversation. He was fresh off his introductory press conference. We're going to replay that next here on WEEI Afternoons. But first, Dan Ball has what's trending. Joining us now here on WEEI Afternoons live from the NFL Draft is indeed Patriots first round pick number 4 overall left tackle Will Campbell. Joining me, Andy Hart, alongside former Patriots linebacker Ted Johnson and Nick Fitzy-Stevens. How are we doing today, Will?
I'm doing good. How about y'all? I appreciate y'all having me on.
We appreciate you joining us. We listened in a little bit to your press conference on the field at Gillette Stadium, and we were talking about how comfortable you seem doing these interviews and these media sessions, and you seem to hit a home run with every answer, the right tone, the right words. Has that just always come naturally? Do you feel like that's just part of your makeup? What do you attribute that to?
Yeah, honestly, to be honest with you, it just came naturally to me. Just try to stay calm in any answer. Just give the best answer I possibly can. Not give too much, but give enough.
Hey, Will, congratulations on becoming an NFL football player. I'm just curious. You know, you're an emotional guy, and it was fun to hear you talk about being drafted by the Patriots after you got drafted. And it just made me think, I'm curious, like, where did your love of football begin? What was the kind of the big genesis of your desire to play football?
Yeah, I mean, my dad introduced me to the game when I was, a little boy. When he came out of the room at the hospital holding me, he was holding me like a football. it's something that's always, ran through my family. I've loved it, ever since I was a little kid and was able to understand it. And it's just something that's gave me and my family a lot of great memories, and I'm just super excited for the next step.
So, Will, it's no secret or surprise to anyone that New England established itself as the gold standard of the NFL this century with 6 Super Bowl wins over 19 years with Tom Brady and Bill Belichick, but it's also no surprise that the team has struggled the last couple of years. So what made you want to come to New England so badly, so much so that you told Executive Vice President of Player Personnel Elliot Wolf way back in the 2024 season that New England was where you wanted to end up?
Yeah, I mean, I just wanted to play for a franchise with the history of this one. Playing for Coach Vrabel was something that I wanted to do. I wanted a fan base that, truly is passionate about this team, just like the one I'm used to. I think, this team is something that I was looking forward to joining because I know what we can be. I know that we had the pieces to, be a successful football team. I'm super excited to, play for Coach Vrabel. He's my type of guy. And I'm just, really looking forward to, this football season.
It seems like, Will Campbell, you have natural leadership ability. What is that? What is your leadership style? And what do you think some of the challenges are of being a young rookie player on an NFL team, but also asserting yourself and taking on a leadership role in a professional locker room?
Well, I couldn't really tell you, the challenges yet because I hadn't really been faced with them yet to be in the locker room with these guys and things like that. But, I think, the biggest thing for me is, come in every day, be the best version of myself every day, be the best teammate, the best player and the best person that I can be every single day in between this building out there on that field. And, everything else will take care of itself.
Will, being a former player, I got to admit, I loved your kind of your response to how you feel like what your job is in protecting Drake May, just making sure you have his back. And I'm curious, just your thoughts on Drake. If you watched him in college and you watched him in the pros, what are some of the attributes and things that you noticed when you watched Drake May?
Yeah, I mean, he's a heck of a player. It's no secret. I've been very fortunate to, you know, block for some pretty dang good quarterbacks in my time at college with Jaden Daniels and Garrett Nussmeier, and now my first one in the NFL is Drake May. So I've been very, you know, fortunate. I'm super excited, you know, not only build our relationship on the field, but, you know, off the field. And I'm just looking forward to it. He's a heck of a player. And not only me, you know, just the rest of the O-line, we just got to put him in the best position possible to, you know, help us win games.
All right, so Will Campbell, you're not afraid of the media and public speaking. You're not afraid of criticism or answering questions to people that, you know, want to know things about your body, arm length, wingspan, et cetera. You're not afraid of oncoming defenders and people that want to wreck you and your quarterback. So I have to ask you, is there anything you're actually afraid of?
No, I wouldn't say that.
Fearless, I love it.
What are you looking forward to in terms of living in the Northeast? I know you talked about seafood, and maybe that's a little different down in LSU. Like, what are you looking forward to, maybe of that lifestyle change to the Northeast?
Yeah, I mean, I've just been in Louisiana my whole life, so being able to, you know, be in a new community, experience a new culture, expand my horizons is something I'm looking forward to. This is a very passionate city, a very passionate fan base. So I'm just looking forward to, you know, meeting everybody, you know, everybody being able to put a face to a name with me and vice versa. And, you know, just moving up here, getting to work. I'm excited for the snow. I don't really get to see that too much. I've seen it twice in my life, and once is in Colorado. So,
Will, I'm just Vrabel's a former teammate of mine, and I could kick his ass then. I could still kick his ass. But it sounds you guys had he had a workout with you last week, and got his hands into you. It sounds like you got the better of him. Anything you can share for? I mean, did you put him on his back, bro? How did that play out that session?
I mean, I'm not going to give too many details, but let's just say I got him. he had to get a new T-shirt after the workout.
Nice.
I love it.
I love that. Now, obviously, Will, there's a lot of things about this place that are going to require a steep learning curve, from the traffic to the size of the roads, the wind, the cold, everything. If you ever need any help, this show's got you covered. But I just wanted to ask you, as your own man with a distinct personality, definitely a football guy, is there any one player you would say you idolized growing up or that your game most resembles?
Yeah, I like to, you know, take every, you know, bits and pieces from whoever it might be, you know, that's in the league now. But, you know, being a kid from North Louisiana, a guy that, you know, that I truly looked up to as a young aspiring offensive lineman was Andrew Whitworth and Cam Robinson. You know, they did it the right way in high school, college, and in the league. They've had, you know, a lot of success in all three of those. And, you know, whenever you're from there, you know, they're one of the few guys that's been able to do it at the highest level. So you look up to them and, you know, what they've done, and they kind of set the foundation for, you know, guys coming out of that area that play the position.
Will, before we let you go, you're well aware that media fans will be judging your career. You're the number 4 pick in the draft. There was talk of tackle and guard and arm length. So we're going to be, you know, judging you from afar. How will you judge yourself? What is a successful rookie season and then successful first couple years of a career for Will Campbell look like?
Yeah, man, I just want to win. Winning takes care of everything else. So, you know, my biggest goal is, you know, just come in any type of way I can and, you know, help this team improve, you know, be the best teammate I can be the best leader that I can be, and just put the best product on the field every Sunday, Monday, Thursday, whatever day we play on the field possible.
He is Will Campbell, number 4 overall pick, first-round pick of the Patriots. Appreciate you joining us on WEEI Afternoons, and look forward to you getting the pads on and watching you in training camp.
Yes, sir. No doubt. I'm excited. Thank you all.
All right, bud. Thank you.
As we'll have to learn to say now, go Pats, GEAUX. You see, the reason why I said that is because they say, go Tigers.
Oh, got it.
See, that's what they do. It's sort of like a Bayou Cajun thing, Stiz.
I thought you were going to drop into your Coach O impression when you said that.
Will Campbell, you come up, you play for the Patriots. Oh, yeah, go Tigers. Go
I got to say, I love this kid. I really
yeah, I
do.
Told you.
After last night, I thought, like, when it first happened, because I was here last year. That was my first real draft that I was really watching, paying attention. You, me,
Sick
Keith.
Brag, bro.
I know. And we got Drake May, and it was super exciting. And last night, you know, everyone for the past few days was like, all right, it's Will Campbell. So I was like, all right, it is. And it was. But after hearing him speak, mm-hmm. after hearing him coming on with us, mm-hmm. I love this kid. And we were talking about jerseys early. I may have to pop my jersey cherry.
Really?
Yes, I really might.
I wish
really
you phrased might. That differently, yeah, but maybe just sort of, yeah, I think most of the audience wishes you phrased that differently as well. But I can understand wanting to get a Campbell jersey. It's going to be a cool thing to get behind this guy that's got a load of personality that seems to have a DGAF attitude on field, yet at the same time is in tune with the community, volunteers, very sensitive, articulate, passionate, emotional as well. He's one of these guys, Dan, that has control or command of what many other players have talked about, like a Logan Mankins, who he's obviously comped to in certain ways for a reason, because Logan Mankins, if you meet him, nicest guy in the world, big firm handshake, you know, forearms the size of your quads, and you would just think, oh, what a gentle giant. But he was the nastiest ass mofo on the field when he played football, and he said quite simply it was as easy as flipping a switch for him. And I imagine Will Campbell is another one of those guys like, hey, we go out there, we play this game. I see you coming after my guy. We're going to get nasty. We're going to do some business together.
That's the kind of mindset you want in front of your quarterback for a pairing that you hope is going to be together, one protecting the other for the next 10 years if things go according to plan.
Ideally so, 10, 12, yeah.
The calming presence for a position that's very chaotic, you know, you even with the way that the Patriots have rebuilt that offensive line, it's not perfect. He's still going to face a lot of pressure. So I've loved everything he's done so far. The jury's still out about the arms. I know that, the measurables, all the things that we point
to. We'll address that momentarily.
Right. And we will not know the answer to that. I would even say past his first season. You got to give him a little bit of time to get used to the play at the professional level. But the entire buzzword coming off of the Mayo regime, Fitzy, has been culture and accountability, and these
of which neither existed.
Right, exactly. And these different intangibles that you were expecting Vrabel to bring back that Belichick had brought during his tenure. And I think that everything that they've preached is what he has been exhibiting to this point.
Yes. Now, two quick points I want to make. One about Will Campbell and Drake May. And then we'll get to the arms. I believe that Will Campbell is the first Drake May guy. Now, let me explain. Now, last year, they obviously drafted Jalen Polk, Javon Baker, in hopes that they would become Drake May targets, Drake May guys. No connection, no chemistry, no success was established with either, and both of them languished terribly. I'm not going to get into how great Drake to McConkey for six would have looked and would have been. That would have fed families for decades, and you would already have a Ladd McConkey jersey, Stiz, because I would have bought you one. When I went
Did
and
you
bought
get
10.
One for yourself, by the way?
I'm going to buy a Chargers one, yes. And I'm going to probably buy them for my kids just to troll the organization until they apologize or find me an adequate substitute like Jalen Noel. So I think this is your first Drake May guy. Like, now the Drake Matriots, if you will, come into play. Like, he's got his tackle, his blindside protector. Drake May has social media. He never tweets. Yet last night he quote tweeted, "I already love this guy. Can't wait to get to work." So, you know, an instant bond. These guys are going to become absolute besties, doing karate in the garage together, having
the
best time.
He's going to die for his quarterback.
He is. Hopefully they know each other a long time. I would hate for Will Campbell to literally die on the field protecting his guy.
I would agree.
But to have a bodyguard, which is what the Patriots tweeted out earlier in a mocked up edit of Will Campbell in the all white with silver, that's pretty great. So this is, to me, the first significant move to bolster the ranks of the deck being cleared for Drake May as the leader and face of the Patriots. Now, about the arms, we had a little behind the glass, behind the scenes here. We had a little internal debate here, at least in the studio, not at B-Dubs out in Green Bay, about asking an arm-related question. Now, some of us in here said, well, we should probably ask a question about the arms. Some, like myself, thought, well, look, we've heard so much about the arms. First, it's our first interview with the guy, and as I had outlined earlier, he probably has slept 2 hours the past 48 hours. The fact that he was willing to come on with us, magnanimous enough with his time, he knows what he's going to subject himself to, Dan and Stanley. But at the same time, he's got to be ready to answer all the questions. To me, it was diminishing returns vis-a-vis, why ask the guy the same question that has been asked a million other times? Is it going to affect your play? Yeah, how do you feel like, are you sure your arm length is not going to be an issue at the NFL level? Or are you going to be disappointed if you get shifted to guard? Like, the guy just got drafted. He just fulfilled a lifelong dream to go to the NFL and play for the Patriots, as he told us at the top of the interview. So why ask him a question that's either going to prompt a minimal response, a generic canned reply, a prickly retort, number one, and number two, we know everything that there is to me, at least in my estimation, we know what we need to know about how he feels related to the arms. It's all BS.
Yeah, he's not going to say, like, imagine you ask him, he's like, you know what, actually, yeah, it's probably going to be a huge hindrance.
Guys, I was lying leading up to the draft.
If I can just drop the voice, I'm super concerned about how my arms are, like, there's a lot of long, fast, lean guys that I'm going to have trouble reaching. Like, no, I didn't see the merit or value. Obviously, neither did Andy or Ted. No, we didn't back down. No, we didn't, yeah, quote, wuss out of it.
Unlike our new best friend, Will Campbell, who says he has no fears, now we have a couple people walking around here saying that we were scared to ask the question.
I wasn't a scared to ask it. I just didn't see the value. I wanted to, you may not know when you're going to talk to him again, Dan. So you make the most of the time you have, and it was great that he was willing to give us 7-8 minutes like that. I really feel like people know what they need to know about that.
That conversation's a pre-draft conversation. If we talked to LSU offensive lineman and draft prospect Will Campbell a week or two ago, sure, bring it up. Bring up the measurables, whatever came from his pro day. But that was a metric that was being used to weigh whether or not you should pick him.
Fair point. Are you afraid that the arm length and the wingspan is going to be a contributing factor to you possibly falling in the draft or not going as high as you anticipated, versus now it's like, obviously it wasn't an issue. They took him 4.
His arms did not change from before the draft to now, and now that's just the reality that we work with. They are the length that they are, and now you focus on the different characteristics that you can control as a Patriot, as a professional, which are some of the kind of intangibles that we discussed.
Speaking of short arms, Stiz.
Well, I'm calling BS real quick on him having no fears. Come on, snakes, spiders.
Yeah. Okay,
he's got a fear. Heights.
I asked the question because he's got a lot of, like, there's a lot of braggadocio related to, like, being tough, dying on the field for his QB, doing whatever he can to protect him. He comes across fearlessly, says what he wants, does what he wants, love the badass attitude. However, you're going to tell me that he's not afraid of, like, weird circular patterns or demons or, you know, hugs, I don't know, whatever, like pepper. Maybe, obviously not. He's got a Cajun palate. But you're right. Heights. Yeah.
We're gonna have to dig into this. I need.
Yes. You know what? So there's a moment there. I probably should have pressed him on that. Let's grab one call real quick. You know what? We'll do. Let's do two quick ones. First, let's go to the South Shore. Tim is in Hanover. Not a fan of Will Campbell. I wonder if he's mad at the organization or just doesn't like the player. Hi, Tim.
Hey, how you doing, guys? I think it's a waste. You should have got the most dynamic player, and that was Genty. I feel like this is like, it's kind of like pleasing the fan base. I feel like this wasn't a good pick for the offense. And this is the one thing I just want to say. Like, we picked our number one pick this year. We used it for last year's pick. And we don't even know if last year's pick's going to be good. And that's the nonsense that I don't understand. Like, this is like, ridiculous, honestly. I don't like the pick, and I think they should have spent it on Genty. He was I think he's going to be explosive on the offense, and he's going to be a superstar.
Me too. I appreciate the call, Tim. Thanks very much. Have a good weekend. Actually, I believe if you were going to make a pick that was to please the fan base, if you wanted to satisfy the appetite for offense, highlights, touchdowns, and more for the Foxborough faithful, that in fact would have been Ashton Genty. But Elliot Wolf has told us it's a deep running back draft, so expect that to be addressed. Likely not when I want to later on in the second or third round, but perhaps on day 3. When we come back, one more break here. We perhaps will see Christian Arcand for a crossover, because tonight's Red Sox-Guardians game from Believe Land has been postponed. We'll get you the information on when they have rescheduled it for later. Christian Arcand is now having a night 2 of the 2025 NFL draft party. Last night's was such a success that he's going to have one again tonight. So we'll grab the cocktail shakers, the kegs, the chips, the pizzas, the buffalo chicken dip, and get ready for the Arcand Night 2 Draft Party coming up right here on WEEI Afternoons. Fearless Will Campbell. How about that? A man of no fears. Afraid of nothing. Stiz Grimey, Stanley Bruno, one of our producers extraordinaire here on WEI Afternoons, calls BS. He says shenanigans.
It's got to be something. And he's so big. He's such a tough guy. It's probably,
you know what it's going to be? Mice.
Mice, insects.
Oh, then he'd hate coming here.
What's the one thing about, and Christian Arcan is in studio now. Christian Arcan, the host, obviously, of the fabulous, top-rated Christian Arcan show, and now the host, or at least lead sled dog on the Iditarod of sports talk that is going to be the Christian Arcan Night 2 NFL Draft Party. Last night you had Shime, Mego, myself. Tonight it's you and Lyons.
Yes, John Lyons is going to be coming in here around 6:30, I want to say. And
depending on traffic.
Depending on traffic and how long it takes. We had to throw this together on the fly a little bit because the Red Sox game has been postponed, as you all just heard.
Right.
So we will have a full four-hour show tonight, 6 until 10. We will have full coverage of rounds 2 and 3. We'll be here for all the Patriots.
I'm so fired up. You're going to keep me company on my drive to Portland. This is great. I might have to, if the Patriots make a selection that I love, I might have to call in.
Okay.
Like if it's Henderson, Noel, somebody like that, like I might have to.
Joe Braverman is very perplexed back there. I don't know what his problem. What's the matter, Joe? Why are you so, what's y'all worked up about?
Because we talked about it earlier. He's like, go ahead, call, you know, Braverman, who always greets you like, you know, your old Jewish grandmother. Oh, how are you? Hello. Nice to see you.
Uncle Leo.
Nick Stevens. You want to call in later? That'd be wonderful. I love the man to
that's
death.
A good impression.
He's great. He's so old fashioned. It's amazing.
I never got a yes or no from
I
you.
I said so Braverman. The answer is always yes with you.
Pause.
Okay. I mean, when it comes to radio hits. Anyway, Nick Stevens, I love you. Thank you. You're the best. Okay. Super excited about night two of the draft, Arcan.
Yes.
Possibilities galore. Quick react. What did you think of Will Campbell?
Well, we were in here. We all reacted together. I was more positive about it than you guys were. Mm-hmm. I was surprised at how negatively but all three of you were. Mego said anybody but Campbell before the thing started.
I can't believe she went ABC.
And the two of you both groaned when he got drafted. So I mean, you may end up being right.
Gotcha.
You may end up being right. And my reaction was I wasn't doing a backflip in here or anything like that. So it's not like I was the big positive guy. But I was surprised at how negative it seemed to be. Callers and
it was
texters in general were all kind of down on the pick. The only person who was pro for it was Tom King, who called in and was yelling at you guys about how they needed a left tackle, which is sort of my take, too. I agreed with him more than I expected to.
I kind of enjoyed
2025 NFL draft. The New England Patriots select Will Campbell. Tackle. LSU. Okay.
Sorry.
Here we are again.
All right.
Here we are.
Not quite like last year when you guys were jumping around belly bopping each other.
Hello, darkness, my old friend.
Oh, that's just mean.
I told
bunch
you.
Bunch of Eeyores in here.
It felt lackluster. It did at the time. However, the reason why I ask you, how did you feel about Campbell? I knew how you felt about the draft pick last
about
night.
About him with you guys? I mean, listen, I like him. I think he's a character. I like.
He's on a character comeback tour in a lot of ways. Not that he needed to come back from anywhere, but like I think he's winning Pats fans over one great interview, quip, and soundbite at a time.
Yeah, I agree with that. I do think that he's very well-spoken. I think that his sort of demeanor and his cadence and all of that is kind of off-putting for a kid his age. Like, he's 20s, he's in the early 20s, and he talks like he's 47 years old.
It's unusual.
It's unbelievable, yeah. So I think that points to, or at least gives the air of maturity, the air of maybe like leadership and that type of thing. And all the stuff he's saying about how he wants to die on the field and he'll do anything to protect Drake May and all that, I get the feeling, and I don't know if this is just because they sort of talk the same, but I get the feeling the two of them are going to be pretty close.
That's why I said
the two of them are going to hang out. Yeah.
This is like the first, to me, this is truly the first Drake May pick. Like, you know, these are the Drake Matriots now because they got him his left tackle. This is his guy. They are going to be best buddies. They're going to like be ordering ice creams for each other and Lady and the Tramping a pasta plate in the North End before we know it. It's
well, according to Eeyore, attorneys at law here, it's going to be the left guard instead of the left
Eeyore,
tackle.
Eeyore, Bummer, and Raincloud, your attorneys at football law.
Exactly.
Hey, let's grab a call or two real quick before we wrap up our portion of the program today. We'll give a couple quick draft picks and then Stanley and Daniel and I will tag out. And then it's Braverman. And then it's you. And, of course, John Lyons. The Lions Den comes in at 6:30 for the Arcan Night 2 Draft-tacular.
We need some imaging for that, by the way, for the Lions Den.
Yeah, I've been saying that for months to Ken Laird. Where is the imaging?
If only there was some sort of
you're in the Lions Den.
If only there was some sort of famous logo with a lion roaring that we could use. If there was some kind of maybe studio that used that. I just can't think of one. Yeah,
right. Some studio that used to produce the James Bond movies or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
David's in the car. David has a quick thought on Drake May as it relates to Will Campbell. What's up, David?
Hey, good evening, guys. Thanks for taking the call. So, real quick, I'm not, disappointed on a pick. But I look at it this way. I think it was a disappointing selection because we're worried about protecting Drake May when he hasn't shown us enough to be that guy to worry about. Tom Brady, who did he have as a left tackle? And how many
Light.
Times when they drafted Matt Light? Yeah, at one point he did have some guys. I know he did, but most of his career he did not. He didn't have an like,
David, that's not
great,
true at all. What are you talking about? He had great offensive line play his entire career.
Actually, David, if I may, honestly, he had Matt Light from 2001 to 2011. Matt Light was a little bit dinged up in 2011 where Solder got some reps. Solder took over in 2012 through 16 before he went to the Giants. And
you
then he
Vollmer
got Trent
on the
Brown.
Other side who came over to the left, too. He had a lot of good left tackles.
And then his game fell apart in the Marshall Newhouse year when Brady left. So agree to disagree, sir. And thank you very much for the call. Good weekend to you. Grab an umbrella. It's going to rain tomorrow. Last call here in our Odds and Ends segment. And by the way, Odds and Ends, here as we wrap up WEEI Afternoons, brought to you by our friends at Cars for Kids, your trusted charity for car donations. They also accept donations of boats, RVs, motorcycles, and real estate. Call today. That's 877-CARS-FOR-KIDS. That's not Cars for Motorcycles, everyone. That's Cars for Kids. 877-CARS-FOR-KIDS with a K. Cars for Kids. Randy in the car. He's offering some predictions. Maybe you can vulture his takes.
All right, I'll write these down, Randy.
Randy, what do we got?
All right, 38, Jalen Noel. Okay, it's Noel, not Noel. If we do draft him and you call him, just FYI.
Wait, I thought it's Noel. I'm pretty sure it's Noel, Randy.
He said it's Noel.
He did?
Like, yeah. Oh. There was a, yeah.
Okay, I appreciate. All right, so you like Jalen Noel. Okay, good. We're simpatico so far. Go ahead.
38. 69, Oluwafemi Oladejo out of UCLA. Okay, they brought him in for a top 30 visit. He was at the Senior Bowl. He was a great leader there of, like, the team. He really emulates all the things Rabel's looking for. I think he's a great fit, and he's got all the athletic skills, too. He used to be a linebacker coming up to edge now.
All right.
He's going to be a good
fit. He was an inside linebacker, right? I remember reading about it. Yeah, he was like an inside linebacker in the
switch. And where does Schweisinger play, inside?
Yeah. And he's like 6'3", 255, 260. He's got the size. Like, he's going to be a problem in the NFL.
And 77.
And then 77, Dylan Sampson, Tennessee.
Running back. There you go. So you just gave me the wide receiver I wanted, an acceptable running back with breakaway speed
and
an edge rusher.
Let me give you a dark horse.
Yes.
Let me give you a dark horse just because, all right, this is if, like, the character-only thing gets way out of hand. I worry that Jack Sawyer is going to be the pick at 38. Like, he doesn't have the athletic profile, but he's got all that other stuff.
He's the leader. He's a Vrabel guy, right? Yeah.
Vrabel guy. And Randy, it's tough to argue with the fact that, like, he came up huge in the college football playoffs. Like, every game he made a play when it needed to be made.
Oh, for sure. I just don't think, 38 is rich. And we need that wide receiver. Jalen Noel is going to be off the board by 69,
Well before that as well. Randy, great call. Thanks very much. That was a good capper right there on the show. All right, so Arcand, you flushed your mind of the Red Sox pregame. You're now in full draft mode.
Well, you can never fully flush your mind of Red Sox
that's
pregame.
That's true.
It's always going to be up there a little bit.
And you probably had a lot of really hot Ref Snyder takes that you wanted to do.
What was your lock of the game going to be? Did you have it set?
No, I was going to let it sort of come to me in a vision in the last commercial break. Although I my last two I hit on. So.
No kidding. Oh, yeah. You're a Red Sox visionary.
After missing the first 22 of the season, I hit on the last two. Arcand Show's coming up. John Lyons at 6:30. All the good stuff we usually do, and we'll have coverage of rounds 2 and 3, only place in town where you're going to get coverage of rounds 2 and 3 of the draft. So keep it right here on WEEI.